Blog.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Welcome, everyone, to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and tonight we're talking with a true Renaissance woman. She is the author of Butterfly Rising and has a recurring role in the hit HBO series True Blood. Please welcome Tanya Wright. Welcome, Tanya.
Thanks. Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about you. You do just a multitude of things, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. For our listeners, you can call into the show and chat with us at 646-200-4071, or please do stop by and join our chat room. We have the session going, and you can send some questions there if you'd like. Now, Tanya, I hardly know where to start. I think maybe we'll start by giving our listeners just a little bit more of an in-depth bio on you. So let me read this great bio I found on your CreateSpace site. It says, Tanya Wright recurs in the role of Kenya in the popular HBO series True Blood. A native of the Bronx, New York, she attended George School in Pennsylvania and received her Bachelor of Arts degree from Vassar College before working at the New York Times. That's a big job right there. She relocated to L.A. to pursue an acting career, quickly gaining momentum on the small screen with roles on critically acclaimed television shows like 24, NYPD Blue, and ER. Tanya is also the writer-creator of several screenplays, television shows, and web-based series. Butterfly Rising, the film of her screenplay, marks her directorial debut. That is... Tanya, that's so much. It's like you're living the dream.
Yeah.
You are.
It is a dream. It is a dream. It's a lot of work, but I enjoy what I do very much.
I love it. Now, I want to talk to you about your movies, screenplays, and acting, but all of that. There's just so much to try and fit into half an hour. But I want to start with your book, Butterfly Rising. Tell us what this book's about.
Butterfly Rising is a story about two women, Rose Johnson, who's the town seductress, and Lila Bell, who's a sort of outlandish, grief-stricken singer, who steal a vintage truck to meet a mystical medicine man named Lazarus of the Butterflies. And that road trip sort of changes the course of their lives after this fated encounter with this strange butterfly man who holds... He's sort of the keeper of dreams, a very strange man in town that has lots of butterflies that trail him and dogs that surround him. For me, butterflies and dogs are sort of symbols of peace and joy and happiness. And so Lazarus is the person that embodies that in the book and in the movie.
Now, so is this kind of like a Thelma and Louise with a mystical journey or something like that? Is it kind of like that or is it different?
It's a lot like that. It's absolutely a lot like that. It was actually also spurned and inspired by a story of Aretha Franklin. You know, she's a great singer, sings great songs about love and loss and pain and women. And she has a song on one of her albums called Mary and Martha, and it's a sort of a takeoff of the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible. There are two sisters who had a brother, Lazarus, who died, and these women needed to believe that their brother would rise from the dead, which is certainly something that I needed to believe. Excuse me, my brother died several years ago, which is another thing that inspired me to write. And I was curious at the end of Aretha Franklin's song where these two women would end up, what would happen to them at the end of this song. So, you know, I'm just terribly imaginative, probably too much so sometimes. And so I just wrote this story about these two women and what might have happened to them after the end of that song.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of us are attracted to the whole idea of this sisterhood-like bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not exactly like the one you were just talking about where they actually are sisters, like a Thelma and Louise. I find that myself, I just like the idea of being able to have that one person, that sisterhood-like bond, that you can have and have that adventure. I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in this story. You don't see a whole lot of them right now. You know, there's not a lot of that happening right now. Now, tell me, now, as the writer and the creator of the story, what do you love most about the story and the characters?
I love that these characters are terribly imperfect. I love that this story gives them an opportunity for redemption for some of the choices that they make in their lives. Rose Johnson is a woman who has relationships with other women's husbands, and she's terribly unapologetic about these things. And she takes a very interesting course in life. I wanted to sort of look at and examine this person, this role of this mistress in our society, and really look at her, and not in a stereotypical sort of manner, but look at her for why she does, you know, the things that she does. And hopefully through the movie and through the book, people can develop some understanding and compassion for her. And when she sort of understands and has compassion for herself and sort of forgives herself, she's able to move on and make other choices.
Now, tell us about the process of taking a novel to a screenplay and then to become a movie. What's that like?
Actually, it was backwards. it was a screenplay that became a movie, then became a novel. Although that's not the way it's being released into the world right now. The book is out and available on Amazon.com, but the movie has not been released yet. In fact, I'm in the final editing stages of the movie. And, the process is not, you know, usually you write the book and then you write the screenplay and then you shoot the movie. But I wrote the screenplay, I shot the movie, and then I wrote the book. It's, you know, it's almost sort of like being pregnant, and I didn't realize that I was sort of having twins. It was just supposed to be the movie, and then it was like, oh, this book is here too? Wow, how'd that happen? I have no idea how anything happens. I just go with it. And it was right and perfect for this process, so there it was.
So this has not been the typical journey that somebody might imagine. This has been just really something organic. It seems. Yeah. So you seem like a self-made woman. I mean, you've got all these different things going on. You're taking charge of your life. You're directing your own movie that you wrote the screenplay for and that you've self-published the novel.
Mm-hmm.
Easy? Hard?
It's all, I'll say, wonderfully and joyously hard. You know, but the joy is the key piece in that. You know, life's hard, you know, so that doesn't mean you don't live. I can't imagine living and doing something where I didn't have joy doing it. Not doing it, but that doesn't make me happy, really. You know, life is terribly short, and you know, the process was you know, specific to me. It's just, I would imagine the process would be specific to a different person, and they would have other bumps in the road and joys and pains. And it's been, you know, I say when you're making something, when you're making a movie or you're making a book, you certainly get made in the process. You, the person who's helming the project, gets made in the process. So I have certainly had an opportunity to see what I was made of during this process, and I'm heartened, I'm gratified, and you know, nobody does anything all by themselves, you know, at all.
Right.
And so I've had assistance, and I've been grateful, and it's been a good ride.
Well, let me ask you, you know, who's your support system? Who's inspiring you and keeping you going?
Lots of people, and I think that it's people who are not necessarily famous. You know, honestly, people like Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, I am inspired by them. But I'm also inspired by sort of ordinary, everyday people who are have courage, who are making big, bold choices in their lives. And so, you know, I'm excited by those people. Those people inspire me just as much as as the, you know, the names that we know. I'm inspired by Lady Gaga, too, wearing meat dresses. You know, I mean, like, what's
yeah.
that? I love it. I'm like, you know what? You go. You go. I love
that,
it.
Yeah. Do your own thing. Be passionate. Have perseverance. Why not? Why not
right.
do anything, right?
Be happy.
Yeah, you know, I was reading your bio over your Create Space page, and I'll put the link up. We'll do a little blog after this so that people can find that. And that's just, you can't read that and not realize that you're passionate about life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing all these different things,
mm-hmm.
and you just seem to be loving it.
Yeah, I am loving it. I'm loving it because I feel like I have decided, and I hope to inspire other artists to sort of take control over their own lives and their own destinies. I made very specific decisions in regards to this project, in regards to doing this movie independently. I went out and I raised the money and I got the crew together and I, you know, cast it and I did everything. You know, as far as the book was concerned, I had publishing options, but I decided to self-publish. I self-published with CreateSpace, which was a great idea. Because I feel like it's a company that really fosters and encourages this idea that I have about artists sort of taking control over their own lives and their own destinies and not necessarily waiting for someone else to give you the yay or the nay. You know, there were other publishing options on the table, and I just felt like, these things are going to take years. You know, it might be a year or two before this book gets out in the world. I know I've written the book. You know, the movie's almost done, and I felt like I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to self-publish this, and, you know, Create Space was just a great place. They had great editors, and they did a fantastic cover for my book, and it was a great process. So that's when I say, you know, I haven't been alone in this process. I really, really haven't. I really haven't.
I have to say I love the cover.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. It's classy.
Mm-hmm.
I just looking at it, people don't realize, people are really visual and are very attracted to book covers. And that's definitely one, if I saw it from across the room, it would bring me over. It's gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
And now, of course, with self-publishing, that just seems to go along with everything I've learned about you in the last few days. You know, just kind of taking it on yourself, making it happen yourself. Was it, how much did Create Space, did they offer you a lot of assistance along the way for the technical stuff?
Yes. I mean, I focused on the creative stuff, the nuts and bolts creative stuff, obviously, you know, it was my idea and my book. And they offered copy editing services. And actually, I designed the cover for my book. I am not a physical, you know, sort of drawing type artist.
Uh-huh.
But I, you know, I'm very kind of stick figure. I have a really good idea of what I want. And I gave it to the Create Space designer. And I said, if you can mock this up, that'd be great. But, and then give me a choice, give me a variation on this theme. And then do something that you want to do, that I have. Just go all out. Like, what's your vision for this? You know, having read the book, having gotten the feel and tone of the movie. And she actually did something that was not at all what I had thought it should be. And it was 10 times better than what my idea was. And that's the cover of the book that you have now. And so that's what I went with. It's just great. I couldn't be happier.
Now, see, I find that very interesting, and I see this with other very very strong, secure people. You're in charge. You know what you want, but you have no fear of letting go.
Oh God, you can't because you don't know what's on what's on the other side of that. I mean, I think if you have a fear of letting go, you have a fear, and fear has no place if you want to really accomplish and achieve your vision, because sometimes you don't know how you're going to get there. And sometimes you think you know best, you know, I'm going to put this foot in front of this foot and then this foot in front of this foot, but it's like this foot in front of this foot, but then you got to take a detour in order to really get to where you're going. And you'll find that detour is probably better than what you had even anticipated. I mean, it was the same thing with that with the book cover. You just have to leave a little space, leave a little room for something extraordinary and wonderful to happen, you know, and yeah.
Now, is that the kind of director you are, too?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that I really focused in on casting people that I thought were strong actors. The woman I cast is Lila Bell. Her name is McGee Monteith, and she was in the movie Walk the Line. She was not at all what I had immediately envisioned for the role of Lila. Lila is in the book and has written is a very, she's sort of a functioning alcoholic. She's very strange and she's very, very weird thing in this small town. And she's, her brother's died. So she goes into these dark spells of strangeness and wateriness. And, you know, I had an idea of who she was on the page, but when I saw McGee and I saw what, how she interpreted the role, I thought it was actually better. And so I adjusted my own performance, because I played the role of Rose, to accommodate that, what I thought was better. And it worked.
Now, let me ask you, as I mean, this story is something you created. It's a part of you, and you're sharing that with the world, and you're allowing these actors to kind of bring something into your own story. While you're doing the movie and all of the, you're acting out these scenes, did you ever have a moment where you just feel overwhelmed emotionally because somebody nailed it, like they nailed it, what was in your heart that you put into words?
I don't know. Well, if I felt overwhelmed emotionally, I feel like there are times where I felt elation.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I guess that's the same thing, you know. It was surprise. It was like, wow, I had never thought to say that line that way, or that was not at all what I had intended for that. But you know, that's why you hire people who are really good at what they do. You know, you hire them for their own imagination and for their own artistry and their own interpretation and, you know, whatever sort of colors they're going to bring to the table, and to make your painting much bigger and better and stronger and more beautiful. And so, I feel like part of the director's job, a big part of a director's job, is hiring great actors.
Yes.
You know, if you have a good, strong script and you've hired great actors, you know, and obviously you get a great cinematographer, but great actors are wonderful and essential to a good movie, because movies are about human beings. So, technically proficient actors are great.
Now, talking about great actors and great scripts, now you're on a super hit series, True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has that influenced you in any way with your own writing or directing?
Not so much in tone. I think work ethic and aspiring to excellence. That show, True Blood, is a show that functions on a very high level, in that the people there, from the cast to the crew to the writers and the producers, are probably one of the most talented group of people that I have ever worked with. And I've worked on some pretty big shows, but you know, there's an unusual synergy and an unusual intelligence, an unusual amount of just pure sheer talent and just like work ethic that happens to make this show. This is a very complicated show to produce. A lot of it is shot at night with wolves and all kinds of things. It's a big heightened show with heightened reality, and so. They're just the best. They're the best, and I feel so terribly lucky.
Well, it sounds just like another great journey that you're on, just this other leg of another journey.
Yeah.
Tell me, do you feel your career blossoming, or you know, are you just starting this adventure? You know, or do you feel this is the accumulation of your experiences resulting in the current success that you have now? Where are you in your career?
It's definitely an accumulation of things. You know, some things that I've known that I've sort of been stockpiling over the years, information, bits and pieces about, you know, working with different directors, and boy, this director does this well. I want to borrow some of that, and maybe next time I won't do what she does. It's definitely accumulation. I feel like this is really the second act for me, and I always knew that this time would come, but I didn't sort of know how or, you know, under what conditions. But you know, I can't say that it was a surprise, or if it wasn't anything that I've always been working towards.
Now, of course, the follow up to that is, where do you want your career to be? What's next for you?
Well, you know what I try to do? I try to be grateful for right now. And I've learned that when I'm grateful for right now, then that's just all I need to do. I have ideas about just doing more of what I'm doing in a bigger way and touching more and more people. But I'm actually doing it. I really actually am doing it. And sometimes I wake up in the morning and I pinch myself. I'm actually doing it. So just to do more of it and more people and bigger and stronger and I'm quite happy.
You're open to whatever new journey may come your way, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because it sounds like you just embrace anything that catches your passion, because you have all sorts of things going.
Yes. Sometimes too many things. I'm like, I wake up in the morning like, oh, my God. You know, there's so many lines that I'm working. It's just like, oh. But it's like I said, it's sometimes like a lot, but it's joyful a lot. It's like a lot of the things that I love, but it's still a lot.
Now, I read somewhere that you like mentoring.
Yes.
What advice would you give someone who's looking to get published or write a screenplay or just follow whatever it is their passion is?
I would encourage them to learn. You know, if you're interested in being an actor, I would encourage you to get into class. I would encourage you to get in every play that you can. It doesn't matter the role, whether it's a small one or the lead. I would encourage you to find out what's going on behind the scenes of the theater. I would encourage you to, get on a set if you can and just breathe it and be in that world, and to be, you know, determined and focused and hardworking and, you know, generally, you know, people who are successful, I feel like generally it's just sort of not happenstance, that there are certain traits that are common. It doesn't matter if you're a successful actor or a successful home builder. You know, there's just certain traits that that people have who you know, are successful. And so I would encourage them to find out what those things are that people do. There are lots of books that are written on it. And you know, do that. Be focused.
Now, have you ever felt a little overwhelmed or maybe a little nervous about any of the endeavors that you've started?
Well, unfortunately, I'm one of those strange human beings who is delighted when she is fearful. And so, because it's like, oh, there's something to explore, because I know that there's good stuff underneath the fear. And that's sort of what the book is about, too. You know, these two women who are on this journey, and they have fear, but they cultivate the courage to go toward the fear. And when they do, it's like that's when their worlds open up. So I know enough to know at this point in my life that when I'm scared of something, it's probably something I need to explore for whatever reason, and explore in a sort of wise way. I'm guided by my intuition, so it serves me well.
So when somebody goes to see the movie or they read the book, what do you hope they're going to walk away with once they see the movie or read the book? What's your hope for those people?
I would hope that people would be inspired to embrace change in their lives. That change is a scary thing, but I think that armed with faith, that that they would be able to get through it. I would hope that people would be encouraged to consider their dreams, and that their dreams are not something that's dreams are not luxuries, and that they're vital parts of our lives, the things that keep us moving forward, and how to make those dreams into a reality, because they don't have to be just sort of dreams, sort of ethereal out there. They can be real, and they can give you joy, and you can make money off of it, and you can share them with the world, and all of those things. So that is my hope for this book.
I love that. Now, last but not least, where can people find out more about you, about your book, about your movie? How do we find it when the movie comes out? Just kind of give us a rundown of how we can keep track of you.
Well, there's probably sort of one place, the master place, and that would be our website, which is www.butterflyrisingthemovie.com, and that are links to our Facebook pages that gives us, you know, you'll give you all kinds of updates on book signings and movie screenings. The movie will make its way into the festival circuit this year. In fact, I'm just fine-tuning that now and working with a film company in Los Angeles to release the movie on the festival circuit and within the next couple months. So that's very, very exciting. So, you know, what I wanted to happen with the book is to build an organic audience for the movie, and that's actually happening. So I'm very excited about that.
Fantastic. Tell us real quick, we're starting to wind down, probably have about three more minutes, but I'm really curious to, you know, the book is out.
Yes.
What have you gotten any feedback yet, like from readers?
Yes.
Tell me about that. I'm really curious about that.
That is probably been the most gratifying thing for me, is that people are not only entertained by the book, they find it to be useful in their lives. And they told me that there were passages that they sort of dog-eared and like, I got to come back to that, because that's something I got to really think about. So I'm excited by that. And they write in, and I respond to all of them, because it's important to me, and I'm over the moon when I get stuff from readers. And the book was actually also named one of the finest debut novels of 2010 by the Brooklyn Book Festival. So I was very excited about that too.
That's big news.
Yeah,
that is big news. That's
yeah.
fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I will make sure that that we get that link up on the blog. So after the podcast, after we put the podcast up, I'll get all the links so that people can find you and find the book. And I'm very interested in seeing this movie.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. Tanya, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Now people are going to call in. I'm so sorry. You can download the podcast. You can share it on Facebook or MySpace. Definitely come by. You can leave some comments. I'll make sure I forward those over to Tanya, or go and find the link there and contact her yourself. Send those questions and comments. And she'll answer those. So, again, listeners, thank you so much. I'm your host, Sheila English, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.